Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Today we're going to talk about what happens when the person who steals from you is a nice guy. He stole from you, but he's a nice guy. It's one of my pet peeves. You'll see people in court, they've got busted, red-handed. There's no question they did it. They admit they did it. And at their sentencing, they bring in people to say what a nice person they are. Hey, listen, look. My mom says I'm nice. My friends say I'm nice. Listen to them. Don't pay attention to the bad thing I'm here for. Let's talk about how nice I am when I'm not stealing from people. So the headline I'm reading to you, ex-attorney took client's funds until nothing was left to steal, by John Agar of MLive. MLive is a Michigan-based news service. And yes, I'm ripping on another attorney, or a former attorney. A former Holland lawyer in Holland, Michigan, is a town over here, facing federal prison, said he violated his position of trust when he stole $340,000 from two clients, including one who is incapacitated. I understand how damaging my actions have been and the great pain I've caused for so many, Jeffrey James Palmer wrote in a letter to U.S. District Judge Robert Yonker. Palmer is 45 years old. He'll be sentenced in Grand Rapids, and advisory sentencing guidelines call for a minimum sentence ranging from 33 to 41 months. That's the minimum. Assistant U.S. Attorney Christopher O'Connor said Palmer stole from a vulnerable victim over the course of 5 years while entrusted to take care of the finances of that person. The IRS criminal investigation agents investigated the suspicious movement of funds in Palmer's account for personal use, and they determined the victim was incapacitated and unable to understand what Palmer had done with the money. The victim is in an assisted living home and had no surviving spouse or children, which might be one of the things that inspired this activity. Palmer took money from the victim, identified in court documents simply by initials, in 118 transactions. So this bit about, oh, I just made one mistake. Well, oh, I just made 118 mistakes. He literally stole from this person until there's nothing left to steal or to pay for the continued care of this person. It is reasonable to assume that Palmer's plan to steal from this person was premised on an expectation that the person would outlive or would not outlive the money, and that the crime would go undetected because there were no relatives who would might, you know, catch this. So when the person's money ran out, Palmer then had a problem. So then he started stealing money from another client to cover the expenses of the first, and also apparently to cover his own expenses. That's at least according to what they're charging in this case. Sean Tilton, the attorney, apparently for Palmer, said Palmer had professional and personal relationships with the victims, and his financial problems led to the thefts. He is Mr. Palmer is deeply remorseful for committing this offense. He said that Palmer consented to the revocation of his law license. Why fight over it? Just turn it in. And does not expect to be able to practice law in the future. Good. He has left his wife in a very difficult financial position, his attorney said. Yeah, but he did that. We didn't do that to him. The court didn't do that to him. The prosecutor didn't do that to him. He did that to himself. Yes, he's left his wife in a bad position. That's between him and his wife. 20 supporters. Now, this is the part that gets me. 20 supporters, including Palmer's wife, wrote letters on his behalf to the judge. A friend said she was stunned by the allegations, but thinks he will continue to have a positive impact on his family, church, and community. The only positive impact this guy could possibly have is to be held up as an example. Don't be like this guy. This guy is a screw-up. And I'm only using that phrase because I can't use one I like because I get censored. But don't be as big of a bad person as this guy is. Let him be an example. Don't be like him. Okay, there's a scale. You want to be over here, and this guy's pegged to the other side. Someone else wrote, to me, Jeffrey is a trusted, kind, and reliable friend. Yeah, when he's not stealing from you or from your loved ones. A kind, reliable friend. He's often been the person I've called in moments when I needed emotional support and encouragement. Did he steal from you? Did you give him any money that he could steal from you? Of course you like the guy. He hasn't stolen from you. Mr. Palmer regrets disappointing the people close to him, his attorney said in a sentencing memorandum. Palmer's been working as a second-shift forklift operator in a meat processing plant. Great! The guy has a job. Many people have jobs. Doesn't forgive him for stealing $340,000 in 118 illegal transactions, including some where he is taking advantage of somebody who is incapacitated. He said he felt relief when he's finally caught. He felt a great amount of guilt and desperation and said he hoped to use his experience to help others. Oh, he's going to help others with this. First of all, why don't you pay back the money you stole? Oh, you can't? Step one is pay the money back you stole, okay? Step two is spend the rest of your life hoping people could forgive you, and don't be surprised when they can't. Palmer pleaded guilty to wire fraud and making a false statement on a tax return. So it sounds like they cut him a decent deal here, because if he stole from somebody in a helpless condition 118 times, I suspect they could have gotten him more for more things than wire fraud and a false statement on a tax return. And the 33 to 41 months minimum guidelines seems awfully shy. But, you know, like I said, it's a pet peeve of mine. When people who get caught red-handed and admit, I did it. I'm guilty. I stole the money. Person was in a coma. I still stole their money. Thought I was going to get away with it. Oh, but you caught me. I did it. But now let's go talk to my friends and see what they have to say about me. And very early in my career, I'm going to describe a story that some people in Michigan are going to remember from about 28 years ago. Very, very early in my career, I got sent out to Macomb County on a case. And because of the court scheduling, I got stuck watching something that I was not a part of. And that is, there was a very, very sad story where somebody got beaten to death by a group of kids. And the kids were old enough to be tried as adults, like, you know, high school senior type age in that area. And the victim was right around their same age also. And there's no question that these kids had beaten this other kid to death. And it was an ugly and cruel way to die, that this kid died. And so these people, I seem to recall they pled guilty. And they were all pleading guilty to what had happened, okay? And so there's going to be a sentencing hearing. And I got to sit in the gallery and watch hours and hours and hours of people getting up and speaking. And I got to see the one side, which was all the friends and family of the kids who were the defendants. And there was a parade of witnesses. This kid's great. Honor student. Boy Scouts, activities, church activities, a counselor, all these wonderful things. Helps old ladies across the street, mows the lawns of other people for no charge, shovels the snow, helps old ladies with the groceries. I mean, just the whole litany of every possible nice thing you say about a kid. Except that he'd beaten another kid to death in a parking lot. But let's not focus on that. Let's focus on everything else good in his life. Okay, he's a good person. When he's not kicking someone to death in a parking lot, you're not in court to be rewarded for the times you didn't screw up. You're in court to be punished for the time you did. And I remember sitting there, and I remember the judge we were in front of. I remember the judge. And I was so impressed with the judge because he sat there stoically, with no expression on his face at all, regardless of which side these people were testifying for, because you saw just as long of a parade of people getting up and speaking on behalf of the kid who was killed and talking about what a good kid he was and how he had helped with every possible thing that the other kids had done. Big difference? He's dead. These kids, they're still alive. This kid? Not here. You know, so when it comes to sentencing and when they let people speak at sentencing, you know, you get to see the victim impact statements, for instance. And I really feel strongly that the courts should take those into account. Let the victims and the relatives of the victims speak. But when people come in to speak about the good nature of the defendant, you have to take a lot of that with a grain of salt. You know, this guy here, he's relieved when he was caught because presumably he would have kept going and kept stealing. I mean, after all, we know of 118 occasions where he did. 118 occasions. So getting back to 25 years ago when I was sitting in the courtroom watching this line of witnesses, and don't get me wrong, when a mother gets up and testifies because she sees her son about to go off to prison for a long, long time, I feel sorry for her. I really do. I feel very sorry for her. But that can't be translated into, oh, let's have sympathy for the kid now because his mother is hurt. Who hurt his mother? He did. And that's something he probably should have thought of before he killed somebody. Okay? So whenever I see people coming into court and saying, well, but my guy's guilty, but let's bring in a parade of witnesses about what a nice guy he is. And the law requires you to let people come in and give those talks. Let them come in. Let them give the talks. And then, and I've seen this happen, where the judge will say, you know something, thank you everyone for coming in. I've taken all under consideration. Now, let's sentence you for what you did. And like I said, I hope they throw the book at this guy. It's the bad attorneys that give the good ones a bad name. You know, there's a reason attorneys have got reputations. And there's a reason used car salesmen have got reputations. There's a reason, you know, doctors, whatever, pick any profession. It only takes one bad one to make everyone go, hey, I wonder if they're all bad, you know? Did you hear about that attorney who stole money? The scary part is that I saw this headline cross my news feed on one of my social media accounts, and I made a mental note, look up about the lawyer who stole. And I Googled the phrase MLive lawyer stole money, and I got a bunch of hits, and they weren't all to this story. There were other stories that popped up. So all I can say is I hope they throw the book at this person. He says he'll never practice law again. I hope that's true also. And like I said, anytime I see the people coming in to say, hey, let's all go easy on this guy because this guy's actually a nice guy, when he's not stealing money or when he's not killing people, you know, like I said, it's a pet peeve of mine. Don't know if it bothers you or not, but questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.